And now the parade starts, and everybody's out to see the parade. All the goyim and all the yidden lahavdil came out to see, because the king commanded everybody has to come out to the parade. And Haman is calling out, this is the king's officer that the king wants to honor, and this is how the king honors the one who the king says to honor him. And it was a beautiful parade, and they're going through the streets. And then they came close to Haman's big 10-story house. And all of a sudden in the house, they hear all these trumpets, and they hear all this music, and all these people. And some of the kids go outside on the porch to say, oh, mommy, a parade, a royal parade with king's officers and everything. Mommy says, oh, you know, early this morning, your daddy went to the palace to tell the king to kill Mordechai the Jew. And it looks like, I mean, it's very far away, it looks like there's such a parade that is honoring an officer. Sometimes the king makes a parade to honor officers. Well, probably Achashverosh, the king, wants to honor your daddy, Haman. He wants to honor him in a parade. So probably your father is riding on top of the horse way, way far away, and somebody is schlepping the horse through the street. That must be Mordechai, because after all, the king wants to kill Mordechai. He wants to hang him. Probably he's on his way to being hanged, so he's schlepping the horse through the street. And your father is riding on top of the horse to be honored because the king loves him so much. All of a sudden, Zeresh gets a good idea. She says to one of the girls, one of the daughters, you know what? Let's play a good trick. Haha, this is going to be fun. And it'll make daddy so happy. Let's go up on top of the house to the 10th floor. And we'll take a real yucky garbage can, and we'll just fill it to the top with all the yuckiest garbage we can get our hands on, yeah. And then when the horse comes right under our house, we'll aim it right on the one who is schlepping the horse, which is, of course, Mordechai, who's going to be hanged. And your daddy, who's riding on top of the horse, when he sees the garbage can fall on Mordechai, will have a good laugh. It'll be so funny. And they climbed up to the 10th floor, and they gathered the yuckiest, most yucky garbage that you can imagine, and filled the garbage can with it. Shh. Now, from the 10th floor, when you're looking down, you cannot see faces, only hats. And they wore these big kinds of hats. So they couldn't see the faces of who was riding on the horse and the one who was schlepping the horse. All they could see was uniforms and hats. But they thought for sure that Haman is riding the horse. He's being honored in the parade. And Mordechai is schlepping the horse. And so the girl aimed the garbage can at the one who's schlepping the horse. And just when he got right under the porch of the 10th floor, she let go the yucky, horrible garbage can. And she got a bullseye right on his head. Hey! Oh, the whole garbage fell all over him, covered him completely. His head got stuck inside a garbage can with his hat. He could hardly get it off. And he starts screaming. Everybody in the street is laughing at the garbage all over him. And the kids are laughing. And Zeresh is having a good time laughing. And all of a sudden he pulled out the yucky garbage can. And he looked up. And all of a sudden they couldn't believe their faces, their eyes. It was Haman's face that was looking up from all that garbage. It was he that was schlepping the horse. And it was Haman that they got with the garbage can. And Mordechai looked up smiling. He was riding the horse. Mordechai Yehudi was riding the horse. And Haman's face turned red. And he started shaking his fist. And he says, I'm going to get you. And the girl got so afraid of her father, what he's going to do, she jumped off the 10th floor and she killed herself. because she was so afraid of what Haman was going to do to her for throwing the garbage can on his head. And now, after the parade, Haman came home covered from head to toe with stinky, yucky, horrible garbage. And he says to Zeresh, "Well, I have to get cleaned off because pretty soon I'm going to the second party with the king and the queen, so I want to be nice for that party, so I better get ready to go to that party." And Zeresh shakes her head. She says, "Haman, don't you have any brains left? Don't you understand what's happening, Haman?" "What do you mean, what's happening?" "By mistake, this whole thing happened." No mistake at all. "What's happening is, like it says in the Torah, if the Jews are down, so then the Goyim can be up. But if the luck of the Goyim goes down, the Jews go up. Over here, everything turned around. The one you wanted to kill is now being honored. Instead of you riding the horse, he was riding the horse. Everything is turned around opposite. That garbage can was meant for Mordechai and it went on you. Don't you see? Now the good luck, the mazel of the Jews is going up, up, up. And that means only one thing, your mazel is going down, down, down. Whatever happens from now on, it's downhill for you. I would not do anything right now, and not even go to the party. I would stay home and not get in any more trouble." "What?" says Haman. "Stay home and miss a party? Oh, no. I want to go to the party. It's going to be fun. We're going to eat and drink." And Zeresh shakes her head. "Haman, you're making a big mistake." And Haman says, "No, let me get cleaned off. Pretty soon it's time for the party." All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And the officers of the king were there. "Haman, it's time to go to the party. We were sent to take you right now." And before he got even a chance to clean himself off, they took him out the door to the party. He had to go just like he was, covered with the stinky garbage. And you can imagine how uncomfortable he was going to that party. And Haman comes into the party. And the queen is there, and the king. And now the king says to Esther, "Esther, you said that you're going to tell your secret by this party. The secret that I've always wanted to find out, where you're from, who your family is. And please, don't keep me waiting any longer. I must find out what the big secret is. And why you waited until now to tell me, and why now you're telling me. I'm so curious. I can't take it anymore." And Esther says to the king, "Okay, I'm going to tell you who I am and who my family is. You should know, first of all, king, before I tell you, the people that I come from and my family are in great danger." "What?" the king says. "Your family is in great danger?" "Oh, yes." "Why?" the king says. "Well, there's a very bad, bad man who is planning to make terrible trouble for my family and my people. He's a horrible person. And he's planning bad things against all of my people and all of my family. He's planning to kill them." "Oh," the king says, "tell me who this man is, because don't worry, I'm the king of 127 countries, and I will take care of that bad man." "Okay," Esther says, "it's this Haman Ben Hamdasa HaGagi, this Rasha right here, he's the Shlechta man who's planning bad against my family. Because I am a Yid, I'm a Jew. And Haman is planning to kill all the Jews in one day, the Schlechter Haman. And Haman was shaking, and Haman was crying, and he was screaming, ha, 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 ha. And he was so embarrassed, and he was so afraid because of what was happening. He never dreamed that Esther herself was a Jew. And now the king got very angry at Haman. Aha! A troublemaker! Just like I suspected. Here you killed my first wife, Vashti, and now you want to kill my second wife, Esther? Aha! This is the troublemaker, Haman. I am so angry, I don't know what to do. I better go out to my garden for a little fresh air so I can decide what to do with you. And Ahasuerus goes out to his garden. And there was a favorite place in the garden that he loved to take a walk. He decided he's going to go to this part of the garden and have a little fresh air so he can think what to do. All of a sudden, he hears the sound of chopping. Chopping in my garden? At nighttime? What's going on over here? And there was a favorite tree that Ahasuerus loved in his garden. He loved to sit under this tree. It was his favorite tree. And he sees two men, and they're chopping down the tree. Actually, these were two malachim that Hashem sent into the garden just for this special thing. And he goes over to the two men, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing chopping down my tree? This is my favorite tree. Who told you to chop down this tree?" "Oh, we have orders from Haman, king. Haman was taking a walk in the garden, and he didn't like this tree, so he said it for us to chop it down." "What? Haman told you to chop down my favorite tree? Oh, now I'm even more angry." And the king goes back into the room, and just as he's going through the door, Haman is walking back and forth, and he's begging the queen, "Please, please, please, please save me. Please, I'll be a good boy. I won't be bad anymore. Please save me." And the king comes in, and he says, "Haman, I am so angry. I don't even know what to do with you." And all of a sudden, one of the king's guards, named Haravoina, just came into the room at that time, because it was his duty to guard that room. And he says to the king, "King, I was just passing by Haman's house, and I saw in his yard a big stick, 50 amas high, with a rope on it. And you know what they were saying over there and laughing? They were saying that this is for Mordechai, that he's going to hang Mordechai on this stick because Haman hates Mordechai. And that's the same Mordechai that saved your life, king. And that's the same Haman that we're talking about that wants to kill Mordechai, and he wants to kill all the Jews." "Oh," says Ahasuerus, "a stick 50 amas high with a rope on it to hang Mordechai. That's what you think you're going to do, Haman? My friend Mordechai has saved my life." "Well, Haman, we've got news for you. Instead of Mordechai being hanging on the rope, you know who's going to hang on the rope? You, Haman, you are going to be the one hanging on the rope. Take him out and hang him." And so they took out Haman from the room, and they hanged Haman on the stick 50 amas high on the rope. And Haman's yard site is the second day of Pesach. Ahasuerus took the ring off of Haman's hand, and he says to Mordechai, "Instead of Haman being my big officer, my Mishnah L'melech, I make you to be my main officer and my Mishnah L'melech." And Mordechai became the great officer of Ahasuerus, the Mishnah L'melech. And he kicked Haman's family out of their big house. And he says to Esther, instead of Haman and Zeresh and the Shlechta family having this big house, I give it to you. You should have the big house of Haman. And so they took away Haman's things and gave it to Mordechai and they gave it to Esther. But now, the law of the king still stands that on the 13th day of Adar, the Jewish people are in very big danger to be killed out. Because the word already got out that the Jewish people are the ones that are supposed to be killed out on the 13th day of Adar. And a lot of goyim were planning shlechts against the Eden. And the law of the king, once the king puts his ring and stamps it and puts his name on it, that's the law and it cannot be taken back. And so Mordechai and Esther asked the king, we have to do something to save the Jews, that on that day the Jews will not be, chas v'shalom, in danger. And so they made a second law. And the law said that on Yud Gimel Adar, all the Jews will fight back, and they can kill all the goyim that start up with them, and they can defend themselves, and they have reshus to start up against anybody that starts up with them back, and the king will not punish them. And this law went out in all the 127 countries. Akinalach, that whole time the Yidden were doing so much tshuva. It says that this was like the end of Matan Torah. On Shavuos, when they got the Torah, it says that Hashem picked up Har Sinai, and he was holding Har Sinai over the Jewish people. And he says to the Yidden, if you accept the Torah now, very good. And if now you say you don't want the Torah, I'm going to let go of the mountain and it's going to fall right on top of you. So a lot of the Yidden said, we want the Torah, but it was because they didn't want the mountain to fall on top of them. Right? Now, Kinalach, the Yidden were doing tshuva with their whole heart. And they were learning Torah and doing mitzvahs with their whole koyach and their whole neshama. And this was the real Kabbalah Sateira that was Baratzain, willingly. They really wanted to do Torah mitzvahs. They realized that this is their whole life and this is the way they're supposed to live. And not to be chas v'shalom, just like other people in Ahasuerus' kingdom going to parties and just having fun at big parties and enjoying the Goyishkeit. Now they were real Erlich Yidden and real strong in Torah mitzvahs. And the whole time they're doing tshuva until it came Yud Gimel Adar. And on that day, a lot of the Goyim started to start up with Yidden. And they said, we're going to listen to the first law more than the second law. And we're going to kill the Jews and take away their things. And on that day, the Yidden were fighting the Goyim. And they killed 75,000 goyim on that day. I don't think so. And the next day, Yud Dalet Adar, they rested from their enemies, and the Chachamim said it should be a big yontiv, and they called it Purim. And on Purim should be a big yontiv every single year after that, because we should remember the big nest that Hashem did for us, that instead of getting killed on one day, God forbid, everything turned around and instead Haman got killed and instead the Goyim got killed and the Yidden came out with a Yontif. And so for most of the cities, Yud Dalet was a Yontif, was Purim, and the Chachamim said we should remember Purim by certain mitzvahs. First of all, we say in Shmona Esrei, and we say in Benching, Va'al Nisim. And we say, B'mei Mordechai v'Esther b'Shushan Abira, and this is thanking Hashem for all the nisim that he did. This is one thing we do. And then, of course, we listen to the Megillah that Esther and Mordechai wrote. That's the whole story of Purim, and we listen to it on the night of Purim and on the day of Purim twice, and even mommies and girls hear them in the Megillah. And, of course, we give Shalach Manis, which is two kinds of foods that are ready to eat to at least one person. And of course, you can give more. And then we give the most important thing, Matanas Levyonim, to poor people. We give at least two poor people tztake. And of course, the more we do, the better. And near the end of the day, we have Sudas Purim, a freilich and suda with delicious food, and we are very besimcha, and we say l'chaim, and we get very freilich. Now, this is for most of the Jews on Yud Dalet, but there were still a lot of troublemakers left in Shushan Abira, because that was the city of the king, and there was a lot of people in Shushan Abira. And Esther and Mordechai asked the king that also on Yud Dalet Adar in Shushan Abira, they should be allowed to kill out goyim that start up. And on that day, they killed 500 more goyim in Shushan Abira. And since it was still fighting, there was not a yontiv in Shushan Abira on Yud Dalet. They had their yontiv on Tesvav a day later, on the 15th day of Adar. And Ar Chachamim said like this: Shushan Abira will have a special Purim because of the special things that happened there. Not only Shushan Abira, but all the cities with a wall around them. Like, for example, Yerushalayim has a wall. And there's some other cities that have a wall around them from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. All of these cities are going to have a special Purim called Shushan Purim, which is going to be a day later than all the other Purims. So if you go today to Yerushalayim, they have Purim not on Sunday, on Monday. Because this year, Purim comes out on Sunday, but for Yerushalayim, it comes out on Monday. And if it's a different year, whatever day Purim is, Shushan Purim is the next day. And also, all the cities that had a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun have Shushan Purim. And it says in the Megillah, Hayamim ha'elu nizkorim v'nasim. When we remember these days, and we do all the mitzvahs, and we do whatever Hashem says on the day of Purim, so the same miracles happen now that Hashem helps the Jewish people and turns around, instead of the Rishoyim winning, the Yidden win, and the Rishoyim get punished. And the Yidden come out on top, Freilich Hayt and Gesunte Hayt. So everybody should have a Freilichen Purim. Now one day, the Friedrich Rebbe called a bacher, a young man, and the Friedrich Rebbe said, I want to send you to a faraway place to start a cheder, to start a yeshiva for kids in that place, and it'll start some Yiddishkeit in that place. And the bacher got on the train with his little suitcase, with his tefillin, with some food, with a few clothes, and he went to the faraway city, and he had a name or two of people that lived there to look up, but besides that, he has to start everything to meet people and to get a yeshiva organized and to collect money, because you have to have money for a yeshiva. And when the young man got to the city, he really didn't know exactly where to go, and he started asking people. And as he's walking down the street, he feels that he's lost. He was trying to follow directions, but he thought he got mixed up and he's lost. Akinallah, is there such a thing as really getting lost? Or like we learned, Hashem is Hamechin Mitzadei Gaver. What does that mean, Hamechin Mitzadei Gaver? Does anybody remember? We make a bracha in the morning, Hameichin Mitzadei Gaver.
Hashem is watching you, your steps.
Hashem is leading your steps where you go. Very good. You don't go anywhere by accident, but everywhere you go, Hashem is leading you there for a reason. Sometimes you find it out and sometimes not. And now in this story, you're going to find out why he was going on this street at this time. It wasn't just an accident. Now, the boy, the bacher, did not know it. He's just walking down the street. He did not know it, but on that street was a man eating supper. A man was sitting in his house by the table, and he was sitting by the part of the table that when you sit there, you could look out the front window and you can see people walking on the sidewalk. And the bacher's walking down the street, of course not knowing what's going on in somebody's house. And the man is eating his supper. And just then, as the man is taking the first food of the supper into his mouth, all of a sudden he sees this yeshiva bacher walking outside with a hat, with a beard, with tzitzis coming out, and you can see the tzitzis. And all of a sudden, the man put down the fork and put down the food on his plate, and he started, like, shaking. Because this man had not seen a yeshiva bacher for more than 20 years. This was an older man who came from such a town where there were yidden and yeshivas and bacherim and bubbies and zaydis and tatis and mommies that were yidden. And this man had gone away, far, far away to America, and he hadn't seen a yeshiva bacher or a frum yid in more than 20 years. And it's very sad, but I'll tell you what was happening. The food that he was eating was not even kosher. He had gone so far away from Torah and mitzvahs. And all of a sudden, as he's eating, as he's about to eat, he sees, for the first time in 20 years, a bacher with tzitzis. And all of a sudden, as soon as he saw this bacher, and he saw the tzitzis, he starts remembering when he was a boy, and he wore tzitzis. And his tati Friday night making kiddush, and his mommy benching Shabbos lift, and her hair covered, and his bubby and his zaydi, and his brothers and sisters, and going to cheder, and learning chumash, and learning Torah, and davening in shul. And he hadn't thought about these things for so many years. And all of a sudden he looks at his fork, he says, what am I eating? Treif of meat? What am I doing to myself? I'm a yid. And he put down the fork. And he looks at his plate and he says, and what do I have in my house? Treif of dishes? Treif of meat and treif of dishes in my house? What have I done to myself? He goes into the kitchen. He goes to the cupboards and he starts throwing the dishes away into the garbage. And he goes into the refrigerator and the freezer and he throws all the food out. He says, I have treif in my house. What am I doing? And he ran out of the house after the boy to find out who he was. And he says, young man, I want to help you. I want to know what you're doing here. I'll be of help to you. But teach me Torah. I've gone so far away. What happened was that the man got new dishes, got new food. He became close to the young man. The man made a shir with him. He learned Torah. He became frum again. He helped the man to make the yeshiva. And later on, they made a shul over there, and this man joined the minyan. And this man was very helpful in helping other yidden in the place, in the town. And how did it start? From seeing what? From seeing tzitzis. From seeing a yid walking down the street just wearing tzitzis. Now you never know, kinalach the koyach, it says about tzitzis, uri'isa ma'isai, you should see them. And you should remember all the mitzvahs. The tzitzis remind us of all the mitzvahs. And this is what happened.